As we enter the text, we see that Jesus lays his first plot twist for disciples and the people around him. From the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, he has shown that he fits the mold of what the Jews expected to be Messiah. Miracles and signs accompany Jesus as he shows authority over all the teachers of the law. Jesus outrightly confirms to Peter that he is indeed the Messiah. Then he tells him that he's going to die at the hands of the religious leaders and be hung on a cross. The cross, the most excruciating execution in the known world, a form of execution reserved for the most heinous of crimes. After all the success they experienced with Jesus, this was an absolute shock. This is the first of three times that Jesus shares with his disciples that he must go to the cross. Peter is the one that voices this concern, but is shared by the other disciples as well. It's certainly very easy to see why they were thinking this way. And the rest of the disciples had issues with Jesus and the cross as well. No one would mistake an execution device for life. No one except Jesus. We too have missed the cross or chosen not to see it. It's so easy to skip Good Friday and go straight to Easter Sunday. The day our Lord was hung and died on the cross was later called Good Friday, but it certainly doesn't feel very good. We're not fans of suffering and shame. However, if we take a second look, we actually see that Jesus has redefined the cross. In verse 35, we see the verse begins with four. This tells us that the reason for the previous verse, we see that denial of self, taking up of the cross, and following Jesus leads to life, abundant life. In the Greek, verse 35 to 37, we see life repeated four times. In Greek, life can be either translated zoe or psuche for life. The author chose psuche. This audio and visual repetition helps drive home the message that the cross is no longer an instrument of death, but an instrument of life. Not just simply living, but a rich life of discipleship of Christ, which is the most life we can have. The most life we can have is denying ourselves and taking up the cross. This lesson of the cross being life came alive to me in college. At the time, I was very argumentative and loved debating. My Christianity was very cerebral. I was very, very obsessed with being right. I would rather win an argument than win the person. I would come down very harshly upon those that could not justify their actions biblically. I was very frustrated with the underclassmen in our fellowship. Many of them were obsessing with building their professional resumes or enjoying their, or building up social resume, ditching fellowship and worship to obsess over their studies or enjoying their newfound freedom to sleep in on weekends and to engage in all the various clubs and activities college life had to offer. I was very offended by their excuses for not prioritizing worship and fellowship. I was right. They are wrong. Why were they not responding? As I was venting to a close brother, he challenged me to bring the matter to Jesus and the cross. I was stumped. What does the cross have to do with me being right and people being wrong around me? In desperation, I took his advice. I couldn't get why they're not responding. I was right. They were wrong. The Spirit led me to ask, what was Christ's response to being right? As I pondered this question, the Spirit gave me an aha moment. Jesus was the most right person. If anyone had the right to be upset and Bible thump people, it would have been Jesus. But how did Jesus respond? He went to the cross. He was right. And he went to the cross. He went to the cross. Jesus' response to unrighteous, wrong people was the cross. The power, the sacrifice, and love of Christ's response taught me that being right was not life-giving. Rather, it was life-robbing. Instead, a wronged life, denied justice, and hung on a cross to die, leads to life. Christ responded to wrong people with the cross, and when he did that, life was returned to him and offered to all. So brothers and sisters, let's deny ourselves and take up our cross to affirm our discipleship in our Lord and Savior. Let's deny ourselves and take up our cross to receive the life that the cross promises. And finally, let us deny ourselves and take up our cross so that we can truly be alive in Christ's love for us and our neighbors. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for the cross. Thank you so much for the cross. It is your righteousness and love for us that can turn such evil into life. What was meant for shameful death has now become a means of eternity with you and freedom from death. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. In your precious name, amen.